Hey, family. All right. Well, it's great to be back once again, diving into the Word of God together once again. Get your Bibles out, whatever format you use. Get your notepad, your phone, whatever you're going to take notes on. Let's go into the Word of God together. I'm really excited today in that we are completing or finishing our series on the running with horses. Come on, somebody just say it right now as we've been declaring all this month. I'm called to run with horses. And in this series, the heart has been talking about us embracing the process of what God is doing in our lives and the things that he is preparing us for, that he is getting us ready to run with the horses. Let's go to Jeremiah 12, verse 5 from the New Living Translation. This has been our core text for this series. And it says, if racing against mere men makes you tired, how will you race against horses? If you stumble and fall on open ground, what will you do in the thickets near the Jordan? And so last week we took some time to talk about the enemy's strategy to wear out the saints, to wear us down. And one of the things that he's been trying to do in this season, because we're called to run with horses, because we're called to do great things, but he's trying to wear us out. And we looked at that from the book of Daniel. But we talked about how we can stand firm and how we can overcome the sluggishness that he'd want to bring through the love of the Father, through hope, through faith, through patience. And so I want to encourage you, if you missed that message, you can go back and check it out. But I want to build a little bit more on this week. And I want to talk about a little bit more about standing firm in the enemy's attempts to wear us out. Because I believe this is going to be an ongoing strategy. I believe people who are not locked into Jesus, who are not aware, who are not discernment, they're not like the sons of Issachar where they're discerning the times, they know what's going on, and they're not walking in the strength of Jesus in this season, I believe that we're still going to walk through some times where you can get worn out. I believe that even now, there may be some things that are rising again. The enemy wants to wear us out. But I want to talk to you a little bit more, again, not just about this call to run with the horses, but I want to bridge a little bit more. We're going to kind of be on a nature theme this series, but I want to talk to you about flying with the eagles. Because not only are you called to run with the horses, but you and I are also called to fly with the eagles. I take this reference from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. And so let's read that together. Again, Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. It says, have you not known and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord, or wait upon the Lord, as another translation said, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so I just want to take some time today to encourage us from this passage, because not only are we called to run with the horses, but you are also called to fly with the eagles. Come on, somebody say it right now. I'm going to fly with the eagles. And I think there was some song out there about that. I'm not talking about the secular song. I'm talking about Isaiah people. We're talking about flying with the eagles. But it's interesting because the first thing I see in this passage is Isaiah is acknowledging that we get tired and weary. Right? And I just want to start there because sometimes I'm not here preaching today saying, oh, we should never be tired and weary over this past season. Listen, this past season has been tiring for all of us. There has been ways in our own strength where we've all gotten weary and we've all gotten in him. We see it here. It says, even, verse 30 said, even youths shall faint and be weary. Even young men shall fall exhausted. In other words, those who are supposed to have the most physical strength, those who are supposed to have the most endurance, Isaiah is saying, listen, even they will fall short. We all in our own strength fall short. We all in our own strength get tired or get weary. And so even as I was ministering to you last week, I just want to start back in this point. If you've been tired, if you've been weary, welcome to humanity. Right? Welcome to real life for all of us. We've grown tired. We've grown weary. But then in verse 31, it starts with a key word. What is that key word it starts with, you ask me? I will tell you. It's the word but. Right? Now, but is a very interesting word. I've mentioned this. If you've heard me preach, you probably heard me say this at one point or another. But is a very interesting word in the English language because when you put but in a sentence, it's whatever comes before the but is going to be canceled out by what comes after the but. Right? Like, you're a really nice guy, but how many know that your really nice guy is really not going to have too much weight in the rest of the conversation? Right? I'd really love to come out, but. Right? Whatever's coming afterwards is canceling out whatever's happened before. I'd love to help you today, but. Right? You're a wonderful person, but. The word but changes what's happening. So Isaiah is saying, listen, even youths shall grow faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But what is coming after is going to cancel out what's becoming before. And what comes after, it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In other words, Isaiah is saying here, guys, this is so applicable for us in this season. In our own strength, yes, we're going to grow tired. In our own strength, yes, we are going to be weary. But there is something that we can latch into. There is something that we can grab a hold of that is going to be greater than the tiredness. Again, this is the power of the gospel. In our own strength, we're going to be tired. In our own strength, we're going to be weary. But we do not have to do this in our own strength. But we are not alone. But Jesus came and he lived a perfect life for us. And he died and he rose again to give us power and to give us life. And he said, you can do all things through me who gives strength. That means I can stay strong through him who gives me strength. That means I can overcome tired and weariness through him who gives me strength. But see, it says, but those who wait on the Lord. Somebody say, wait on the Lord. Right? This is for me, this is like the engine of the entire passage. To wait on the Lord for renew their strength. Now, it's interesting because here in the English Standard Version, it says, wait for the Lord. And there's definitely part of that. But if you actually study out the core part of the passage, it says more of waiting on the Lord. Because in my mind, waiting for God, even though there's some powerful in that, but waiting for God and waiting on God is a very different thing. Right? How many know that if you're waiting for somebody, you're just sitting there and waiting for them? But if you're waiting on someone, it takes a very different connotation. What does waiting on mean? Well, what I think of when I think of waiting on is I think of a waiter or a waitress. Right, you go into a restaurant, and they greet you. Pastor Sharon and I, you know, we love going out for a date. We're trying all kinds of different restaurants in the city of Toronto. Got to be a little, you know, more discerning in these times, but we kind of like doing the foodie thing. We're trying to do it more often, and because my wife's probably watching this right now, and babes, we're definitely, this year, we're doing it more often, even more so. But we get out there, and the waiter, they don't sit there. I mean, imagine you go into a restaurant, And the waiter, the waitress sits over there and kind of like, okay. And you got to go over to them so you can place an order, right? Well, that's fast food. But if you're in a restaurant, you know, you'd be thinking already, this is a bad experience. Why? Because in a good restaurant, they come to you. They bring you the menu. Not nowadays, they've got you, you know, your little QR code that you scan so you can see your menu. But they bring you the menu. They find, would you like water? Would you like a drink? They bring it to you. They bring your food. They don't wait for you. They wait on you. And see, I think this is so powerful because what Isaiah is telling us is saying, listen, in our own strength, we're going to get tired. We're going to go weird. Guys, this season has probably worn out many of us in different ways. But there's something greater we're called to. And that is waiting on the Lord. Right? To wait on means to be attentive to focus on, to serve. Another word is to minister to, right? We necessarily wouldn't connect those words, but if you study out what to wait on, right, that's what it is. So here's the thing, Isaiah said, listen, in the natural, you're going to get tired, you're going to get weary. You might be listening to me today and you're just tired, you're weary, you're worn out, but here's what you need to do, right? Get that button there. Wait and say, okay, I'm going to cancel this out. I am waiting on the Lord. I'm going to be attentive to him. Are we attentive to him in this season? Right? The challenge for many of us is we're attentive to far more other things than we are to him. If you are more attentive to the daily news than you are to Jesus, you are going to get worn out in this season. Now, I'm not saying we should totally ignore the daily news. You can never watch the news and the news is evil and the news is demonic. No, that's you know, what's going on here. I mean, you know, sometimes it gets kind of slanted. You got to learn how to discern. But there's nothing wrong with that. But what am I more attentive to is the question, right? Are we attentive to him? Because that's part of waiting on him. Are we focused on him? Where is your focus? Because your focus is going to, by and large, determine your reality. Right? It's interesting. When you're, one of the things, I don't ride a bicycle, a motorcycle. I do ride bikes. I've really enjoyed mountain biking this summer, and I actually haven't gone to any mountains, but you know, Toronto's a beautiful place, all kinds of ravines and valleys and riding, so I've had some fun time doing it. I don't think I'll ever quite get up to a motorcycle, just because, I don't know, just the idea of flying 100 kilometers an hour down on, you know, a motorbike with just a helmet, it just does not appeal to me very much. My wife is far more interested in that, but it just doesn't appeal to me very much. I'm Mr. Conservative and safe and everything else. But here's one of the things they talk about is when you're steering, you want to look where you want to go. It's the same thing when you're driving, right? Like they say, if you get into a tough situation, where you're looking is where you're naturally going to steer things. Right? And so here's my point. Where are you looking? Because what you're looking at is what you're going to steer towards. Right? If you're looking at discouragement, you're going to steer towards discouragement. If you're looking at fear, you're going to steer towards fear. If you're looking at doubt, you're going to steer towards doubt. But what if you're looking at Jesus? You're going to steer towards him. What if you're looking at the word? You're going to steer towards that. What are we focusing on? Because that's part of what waiting is. See, that's what it's so much. See, it's so much more than just waiting on. So much is like, well, I'm waiting on God. I guess I'm going to renew my strength. And there is something about just waiting on the Lord, like, waiting for him. You know, someone's like, excuse me, just waiting for him. It's like, I'm just waiting for him. I don't know what's happening. He's not coming. No, it's waiting on him. That means when someone waits on me, they come to me. They are attentive to me. They are focused on me. They're not just sitting there waiting for me. And maybe the problem for many of us guys, and I just want to challenge you, if maybe some of these things are resonating for you, you've been struggling, maybe you've been waiting for God instead of waiting on God. And it's time to become proactive and to say, okay, God, you're going to have my attention. You're going to have my focus. How are you serving him in this season? Right? Because that's part of waiting on, means to serve. Right? And there's a challenge here. And I know it's tougher because a lot of the regular ways we serve, like helping out around church and doing a lot of stuff's been shut down. But what are we doing to serve him? Right? Like every day it's, God, what can I do to serve you today? How can I serve you, Lord? Why? Because that's part of waiting on him. I have found in so many ways for me that when especially when it comes to ministering the love of God to others, like listening to the Holy Spirit and sharing my faith with somebody or praying for somebody or giving somebody a word, it brings such a renewing and a refreshing to me when I obey God in that, right? Because what am I doing? Well, I'm serving this person, but I'm serving God and then ministering to. You know what I'm ministering to? This evokes the priests. Because in the scriptures, and the Bible does says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, right? Where there's a priestly call on every believer. Part of the Reformation was the priesthood of all believers, right? And so there's this element of ministering to the Lord, right? It's like, God, I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to just find out how can I, in prayer, right? Like the Bible talked about Anna, how she'd minister to the Lord in prayer and fasting. And it's like, I'm going to minister to you. Why? Because when I wait on God, right? Not wait for God, but when I wait on God, my strength is renewed. When I wait on God, and this is where it goes next, because when we wait on God, come on, somebody say, I'm going to wait on God. Come on, say, I'm not going to wait for God, but I'm going to wait on God. And when we wait on God, it says this, we renew our strength. Someone say, renew our strength. It says, we will mount up with wings like eagles. It says, we will run and not grow weary. And it says, we will walk and not faint. All of this comes through the power of waiting on the Lord. Are you waiting on God today? Are you waiting on God? Not waiting for him, but waiting on him. Are you waiting on him in your daily lives? Right? And I want to encourage you, just even as we're finishing up this service of running with horses, those who learn to run with horses are those who learn to wait on the Lord. And is it kind of an interesting dynamic? It's like, you want to run? You want to mount up with the wings like eagles? Wait on God. Right? Because that is where the strength is found. That is where the life is found. You know, I use the example in different things, but you know, my cell phone, it works because I plug it into the power. And then it is charged up. And then as I use it throughout the day, the power gets less and less and less. Those percentages go down and down and down. What I need to do, I need to plug it back in. If I try to use my phone for too long without having it plugged into the power, then my phone is no longer going to function the way it needs to. All the capability is there, but it has become disconnected from the power source for too long. And in the same way, I want you to use this picture when it comes to waiting on God. If we're going to run with horses, if we're going to soar with eagles, we need to be plugged into the power source on a regular basis, guys, and that comes through waiting on Him. It's not an act of the flesh. It's not something we learn. It's just there is life that is brought into our spirit. There is strength. There is hope. Everything He has for us comes as we wait on Him, as we are attentive to Him, as we focus on Him, as we serve Him, as we minister to Him. And I want to talk to you just for a few moments here in the last portion of this message. I want to talk to you about this whole idea of mounting up with wings as eagles. You know, as we said, we're going to run with the horses. We're also called to soar with the eagles. And I just want to encourage you with a couple amazing, interesting facts about eagles. But the fact that they're in the scriptures means I believe God wants us to learn from them. And so He said, when you wait on God, and again, this is not just like wait on God every once in a while. This is, it's part of my everyday life. It's part of my everyday habits. When I wait on the Lord, I mount up with wings as eagles. And so a couple things that I think about eagles that would speak to us about the benefits of waiting on God. First and foremost, eagles have incredible vision. They actually say that an eagle has vision 8 times better than a human being. You know, if they say for humans, you should have 20/20 vision, they say an eagle will have 4/20 vision. Now, all that means is they have this incredibly sharp vision. They can see their prey from so high in the sky. When we wait on God, it gives us incredible vision. Right? When we're in our own strength, it's hard to see. When we're tired and when we're worn out, it is so difficult to see. But guys, when we wait on the Lord, there is this vision in the spirit that comes. We see God. We see what He wants us to see. We see where we're going in Him. Has your vision become clouded in this season? I would encourage you to come back to that place of waiting on the Lord, right? Because when we wait on Him, we see. A second thing that was interesting about eagles is they have this incredibly strong grip. Scientists will tell us that eagles' grip is 10 times stronger than a human being's grip. So when they get those talons and they get their feet and they grip into a prey or they grip into, you know, they're on the cliff and the mountain cliff and they're saying when they grab a hold of something, there's this incredible strength. And so when we wait on God, there's this strength that comes to hold on to His promises, to hold on to His truth, to hold on what He has called us to. Guys, in the times that are coming, there is going to be increased persecution. There is going to be increased pressure from the enemy to wear out the saints and to us to let go of God's truth and God's word and God's promises. But when we wait on God, we become like an eagle where there's this strength to hold on to that which God's called us to. And so as we wait on the Lord, it sharpens our vision. It increases our strength to hold on. And then last but not least, particularly strong passage where it talks about mounting up with wings as eagles. One thing about eagles is that primarily when they fly, they do not flap their wings as much as they soar. If you'll look at most birds when they fly, they're flapping their wings, and some will flap their wings really fast. I remember this summer observing some hummingbirds up at my parents' cottage, and these hummingbirds are incredible creatures, and they believe that the scientists tell us they'll flap their wings about 70 times a second. I mean, it's just incredible the way they do it. They just move back and forth and up and down. But see, eagles don't flap their wings that much. What they do is they soar, and what they do is they catch the winds that are blowing, and where other birds have to flap against those winds and battle those winds, and if it's too windy, those birds just have to kind of get out, you know, to get into a different atmosphere or land for that. The eagles, actually, those winds cause them to soar even higher. And there's actually something that is known with eagles where they actually do what they call locking their wings. And so picture an eagle is out soaring and there's a particularly strong wind. There's maybe a storm that's coming, or there's you know, just this incredible wind storm that is coming. And what they do, scientists tell us, is that they will lock their wings, and there's like this locking mechanism where they lock into place. And those winds that otherwise would dash them down to the ground, those winds that would make it impossible to fly, because they've locked their wings, actually push them even higher. And they actually push them to even greater heights. They push them to an even greater speed. Why? Because they've locked their wings. And in the same way, family, I want to encourage you, because as we learn to wait on the Lord in this season, and as we learn, because remember, He's training us for things that are to come. And I promise you, there's amazing, glorious, incredible God things that are coming. But there's also going to be battles and storms and challenges. And God's saying, I want to teach you to run with horses. And he's saying, I want to teach you to lock your wings. So even when it's challenging, even when it's hard, even when there's storms, even when there's persecutions, even when there's this assaults of the enemy, you know how to get with me in the spirit because you're a man or woman who knows how to wait on the Lord. And you lock your wings, and those winds and those storms and those battles and those challenges that are designed by the enemy to dash you to the ground actually only serve to push you higher. And you mount up with wings as eagles. You run and you don't grow weary. You walk and you do not faint. What was meant to destroy you actually serves to push you even higher into what God has called you to. And I want to encourage you, and I want to call you today in the name of Jesus. It is time to lock your wings. It is time to lock yourself into faith and into patience and into hope and lock yourself around the promises of God. And yeah, we've been in this season where it's been challenging and we don't know all that's coming, and maybe it continues to be challenging for a while. Lock your wings in the name of Jesus and say, I'm going to soar through this season. I'm going to even greater heights. I'm going to walk with even greater vision. I'm going to hold to the promises of God with even greater strength. And I am going to mount up with wings as eagles. Why? Not in my own strength, but in the power of Jesus Christ. Why? Because once again, guys, let's go back to the gospel. Jesus was the one who came. Jesus is the one who ran and did not grow weary. Jesus was the one who walked and didn't faint. Jesus was the one who locked his wings. Everything the devil threw at him went from the wilderness where he was tempting him right up to the cross where they did everything they could do. The sins of the world were placed upon him. He locked his wings in this position as he went to that cross. And he locked himself in that place. And he said, there is nothing that is going to stop me from bringing salvation to men and women of the world. There's nothing that's going to stop me from seeing multitudes of sons and daughters come in the kingdom. He locked his wings. And in that same way today, you do not have to lock your wings in your own strength, but you can lock your wings in his strength. Do it in him today. Let's put our faith in him. Let's put our trust in him. Let's believe the power of the gospel today again. The same power that God saw you forgiven, the same power that saw you saved, is the same power that's in you right now to enable you to mount up with wings as eagles. What's the key though? Let's wait on him. Let's put our attention to him. Let's focus on him. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. In this season, let's continue to let God do what he's doing in us so we can run with the horses. So we can lock our wings in the Spirit, in his strength, and we can soar to even greater heights. Just in closing today, I do want to give an opportunity for anyone who needs to give their life to Christ, but let me just do this. Let me read to you this passage from the Passion Translation and just let these words speak to you as we finish today. Don't you know? Haven't you been listening? Yahweh, the one and only everlasting God, the creator of all you can see and imagine, he never gets weary or worn out. His intelligence is unlimited. He's never puzzled over what to do. He empowers the feeble and infuses the powerless with increasing strength. Even young people faint and get exhausted. Athletic ones may stumble and fall. But those who wait for Yahweh's grace will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles. They'll run their race without growing weary, and they'll walk through life without giving up. And so I just speak that over you in closing today. We are waiting for Yahweh's grace. You will experience his divine grace. You will rise up on soaring wings and fly like an eagle. You will run your race without growing weary. And you'll walk through life without giving up. Why? Because you are called to run with the horses. Come on, just say that one last time today. Say, I'm going to run with horses. It's not in your own strength, but it's in his strength. But you are going to do that in Jesus' name. And so just as we close today, I want to give an opportunity if there's anyone who doesn't know Christ. If you do not know Jesus, or maybe you knew him and you fell away, today is your day to meet him. See, the Bible teaches us that God loves us with an everlasting love, but we've been separated from that love by sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. I'm not just trying to point the finger at you. We all deserve death, natural and eternal, because of our sin. That's the bad news, but here's the good news. The good news is Jesus came, he died, and he rose again. He said, if you'll put your faith and trust in me, I'll forgive you, I'll free you, and you will now walk in a life with me in this life and with me for eternity. Instead of eternal destruction, you'll have eternal life. And so if you have never given your life to Christ today, why not do it today? Maybe you fell away. Today is the day to come back. The Father's calling you home. And so I want you to pray this prayer with me together. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you came for me. Thank you that you died. Thank you that you rose again. Today I turn my back on sin. I commit my life to you. Please forgive me, fill me, transform me. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'm so glad that you did. Would you do us a favor? In the info section for this video, there's a link that says, I gave my life to Christ. Could you let us know? We would love to follow up with you and just pray with you and support you in that. Other than that, it's been an honor to be together again this Sunday. We're really excited about all that God's doing. Obviously, we're here in the online context. We are also in our in-person context as well. But I want to encourage you, number one, get involved in the connections. Connections are so key. They are so important. They matter so much. Be part of a connection. They're in a virtual format right now. Get connected. Number two, join us this week for our Faith Fuel video devotionals. They go live every morning at 7 a.m. on our YouTube channel. You can catch them live or you can watch them later. But we're going to continue to talk about principles and keys. We're going to have some different team members sharing with you about principles and keys on running with horses. And so we love you so much. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Have a great Sunday.